Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 17th. Joining us this morning from the city of Arcata, Police Chief Brian Ahern. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Still wearing the neck thing, huh? It's not warm enough for you?
No.
You just need that turtleneck.
Yes, it's still, it gets chilly, so I need to have that extra layer.
Fair enough. Are you ready for our Why We Say That?
You know, I was kind of hoping we'd go to some basketball trivia instead because I never know this stuff.
Well,
so,
okay,
yeah,
let
we're
me see
ready
if I find
it.
Some sports. It's you a great know. Outdoors. Money business. No, that's not going to be up your alley. I thought there was one here from sports. These make sense. Well, those, we could play in there instead. Sports talk often follows the ball. All right, hot dog, you ready?
Ready.
Screwball. Why do we use the term in baseball? Screwball.
Because the trajectory of the ball is kind of screwy, I guess.
Okay. Well, at least you didn't say the hot dog vendor or blame it on the peanut guy. Carl Hubel, an all-time baseball great pitcher, started his pro career in 1923. 5 years after he joined the New York Giants, despite the fact that some sports writers said no southpaw could last that long on the team. Carl's first big league game was a disaster. Opposing batters knocked him out of the box. Instead of sitting out the rest of the season, the Missouri native persuaded his manager to let him try a new throw he had developed. A ball that rolled off the outer of his middle finger in a reverse spin looked as though it would be a curve, but it behaved in the opposite fashion. I guess for those that aren't baseball players, instead of breaking away, or I guess for a left-handed pitcher, instead of breaking to the right, it breaks to the left. Fans said there was only one thing to call a ball that behaved in such an erratic fashion. By the time the name of Hubel's screwball was generally familiar, he'd used it to strike out both Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in a single game. Devotees of the diamond compared bizarre human behavior with that of Hubel's ball that somehow broke away from the right-handed hitter. As a result, a screwball is now our universal label for walking and talking oddballs.
So next time I come in, we'll have to, the question's got to be, where did the term southpaw come from?
Yeah, that one we know. Oh, so how's life treating you?
Good. Yeah, things are good.
College is out. I guess the relabeling continues.
Continues
throughout town.
Yes.
Are you experiencing or seeing anything different? Because it seems like there's new characters in the neighborhood. Whether or not they're behaving differently, that's the root of the question.
Well, you know, we continue to be challenged by people who are living on the streets and those with behavioral health challenges. And unfortunately, you know, we've seen a tremendous amount of devastation with the abuse of narcotics and with fentanyl now so prevalent throughout the county, including Arcata. You know, there's always the concern that we're going to see more overdoses and, unfortunately, overdose deaths. So our staff continues to be challenged every day. We get called to bad news. Cops never get called to a good thing, and we're constantly being asked.
That's right. You don't get pancake feeds, do you?
No. We're constantly being asked to solve problems that no one else can solve. So there's a lot of good things going on in Arcata. We're roaring back from COVID. You know, the council's been, you know, forwarding a lot of initiatives. To get people housed, to build infrastructure, to, you know, revitalize our economy and to bring businesses back and to create more sustainable bridges with our Cal Poly partners, especially considering, you know, the growth of the university and the projected growth, and then you have housing projects and the Gateway and, you know, there's a lot of expectations on the part of the community that the police do more to be in the forest and to be on the marsh and
that's
to be in Carlson Park.
Some of that stuff, I know in the old days, you know, you had the horsies. Okay, maybe it's cool to bring those guys back. But with all the money that city council is spending and that's coming in from the state, you know, while the trajectory for that stuff is good, you've got the cultural stuff that you were alluding to. You have the greatest museum in the world, but if people come in and steal things, it really doesn't matter what the building looks like. Is that also being addressed?
Well, I mean, the council is I think, trying to accomplish a number of goals in a number of different areas. Some have some relationship to others. Some are completely unique. But, you know, I mean, we just had our budget study session this past Tuesday night, and the council's been nothing but supportive of really trying to give the police department more resources, more tools. For example, our outreach sergeant position, which they just staffed, that is a new position within the organization, which really gives us the capacity to work more closely with our partners at DHHS and other social service agencies, our K-to-House partnership, to move people further down the service pipeline. Brian, it's no longer acceptable for us to simply say, hey, would you like services? And people say no. Well, then we got to continue that conversation. And because patrol is getting called to so many different places, this outreach position now is going to devote the time to build relationships, build trust, and get people into that housing, get them the drug treatment, get them those meals,
kind
job
of like
training.
The MIST program that Eureka has?
It can be related to that. I think the goals are the same. How you go about it depends on the uniqueness of your own city. The bottom line is, though, that the council's supporting us. They're finding the way to fund programs, even within public safety, to help Arcata with our rebound.
Now, you've got those two developments out in Valley West that are,
being,
I guess,
converted. Yeah.
They're still kind of happening, formulating. High expectations that that's going to help significantly what's going on, or is that kind of balanced by concerns that there may be folks from neighboring communities that will be coming into town that aren't there currently to take advantage of those?
Yeah, and I think the council's been very clear on that. They want to house people, regardless of where they're from. And so that's our charge now as a city and as a police department, is how do we continue to provide a safe environment within Valley West and Arcata while others may be coming into our city that perhaps have other ideas about, you know, why they're coming in and for what reason. So there's no doubt it's a good thing. But with it are going to come some challenges.
KINS, news, such as getting him excited enough to talk about things. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Brian from Arcata Police. Brian, with the new structures that are in place, you know, one of the things, and they talk about it when you're a parent also, is modeling. You know, that if you see others getting away with it, you're inclined to maybe push the edges if that's your attitude and your approach. Same thing with compliance. You see everybody doing it and it's working out okay, you might be a little less apt to be an outlier with it. Is that kind of the goal with some of these programs, is to get some of the chronics kind of acting within the bounds of what is acceptable, and maybe they'll pull their contacts, their friends, the folks that they're around, and have everybody kind of acting in the same way through almost peer pressure?
I think, I mean, I think that is one of the goals. I'm not sure how immediate that's going to be realized. I think for us in Arcata, at least the way I'm reading everything, is we want to at least sort of reshuffle everything, kind of recalibrate is what I should say. And for example, let's get the housing up and running, like for example, the two hotel conversions. Let's get people in there, and then let's work on those secondary sort of cultural and community expectation philosophies and allow those to sort of come in more perhaps organically. But I think right now in Arcata, we want to at least, for example, get people off the street, get them the help that they need, get them some mental health treatment. If they're struggling with behavioral health issues, we've got to find ways to continue to support all of our partners here throughout the region with what we all get is a limited capacity, you know. So how do you
reduce the workload?
Well, how do you sort of triage each person, right, and really find amongst the limited capacity of resources we have those that will help them in their situation the most? But there is value, Brian, in sort of that community standard. Regardless of your sort of socioeconomic status, yes, I think everyone can all benefit by looking around and paying attention to how others are sort of policing themselves and their groups, and to a certain degree comply. That builds a healthy community. And for those that just are going to continue to violate the law and victimize people, really try to capitalize on marginalized communities, we're going to be there as a police department to ensure that we remove the potential for that to happen.
Now, drugs are a challenge in the best of times. During situations as we're experiencing, either with inflation, cost of living, or some of these cultural shifts that are going on, Are there any panaceas that are out there? Anything that people are doing? I know that was the big deal with the recall in San Francisco with the DA. You know, mm-hmm. we're, as a community, mm-hmm. they're tired of what was going on. Do you sense that Arcata citizens are kind of running parallel and that they're tired of some of the stuff that's been going on?
Yeah, you see, you know, it's a great question, and I think it really depends on who you talk to. I think Arcata, as unique as we are, we're very similar to other communities that I've policed in 35 years. And one of those is it's very hard for everyone to get on the same page in terms of finding common ground. Whether you work from a big city and you go into neighborhoods, or you go into Arcata, for example, and you just go to from street to street.
The city is your neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. You find really divergent perspectives on things like, how can we solve problems? Is drug use a bad thing? Or no, it's actually, it's holistic, right? There are so many different perspectives on where people are in terms of the freedom to choose how you want to live your life.
Well, the libertarian approach is one that is, I think, something that many people are comfortable with. It's just when it crosses that line from being what you want to what society says is not acceptable. And that's obviously the crux.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, and you brought up, you know, like this recall in San Francisco, you know, the media perpetuates a lot of what they want people to believe. And again, I would say Arcata is very, very similar. Now, this is my personal opinion. Most people support law enforcement. Most people support order in society with some leeway, right? But there have to be some rules of engagement. Those are the people who don't come to meetings. Those are the people who don't ask for their politicians to advocate. They're out managing their lives. We never hear that voice.
Yeah, that silent majority.
It is. And so, and again, I don't think Arcata is different than any other community that I've worked in. Is to your point, are we hearing it that people are frustrated with it? We're not, because I think they're figuring out a way to navigate through it. And I think ultimately people in Arcata realize that the city has their best interests in mind. We are working through these problems. We are making progress. And people in Arcata, they are patient, but they're willing to call us when things are starting to spiral out of control so that we can come in and at least stabilize the situation and continue to work on longer-term solutions.
It's always interesting when school comes back and it's parent drop-off kid week. I know that's not quite what they call it, but the gist of it is there. To see if that changes, that interaction, that dynamic changes this coming fall with it now being a polytech instead of HSU and the imagery that had projected.
All the more reason that we always ask the administration at Cal Poly for us to be present on campus on their terms, especially during orientation, so that we can establish those relationships up front and reassure the parents that their kids are going to be okay.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata Police Chief Brian Ahern. Brian, you had mentioned a couple of things, and I suspect that part of the challenge with any new is to normalize the new. Yeah, the two projects out at Valley West, are they going to be different? Oh, yeah. Are they going to be normalized over a period of time? Getting from point A to point B is going to be the fun challenge. Do you have expectations or references or roadside flags to know if the project is going in the right direction, if it's going out of control, if it's something that needs a little bit more attention, or if it seems to be kind of working itself out nicely? Do you have those standards and
some of those barometers in
place? Yeah, just reference points so that you know and everybody else knows if this is doing what everybody was hoping.
Sure. Yeah, really good question. I think from the police perspective, we'll continue to rely on complaints that come to us, reported crime. In other words, the data-driven part of it. What are we seeing with the data as people move into the hotels? Are we seeing increases or decreases in reported crime, in nuisance activity, in quality of life, complaints? It could go either way. Or is it the same? And I think this is just my personal opinion. I think for success is going to be partly measured by we don't need really the police to get involved a whole lot. And we'll call you when we need you, right? Because I think there's a lot of perception within the community that everybody that's going to move into this housing is coming with some baggage, right? Or some
you're gonna have battles every night.
Right? There's criminal look like history. They're all strung out on drugs, and, right. And nothing could be further from the truth. So we're at the ready, obviously, like we are for anywhere in the city. But clearly, the council has really embraced this. They've delegated these responsibilities to the city manager, to our finance director, community development, and environmental services, and even including engineering because of the transit piece, right? I think you pretty much have every city
Everybody's
department,
on board, yeah.
Right, and each of us has a different role. So those are the barometers, Brian. I really need to rely on how I'm reading my peer department directors and really listening to my boss, City Manager Karen Deemer, and looking for opportunities for us as a department to continue to help stabilize, but to know when it's time to move out so that these other forces can can create the safer environment so that people don't think we needed a police state or we need armed security officers at static posts to keep people from, you know, hurting one another. Well, let's trust in the process. Let's give these people a chance to build their own community, right? Their own expectations and our community partners, you know, Arcata House Partnership and Danco, who are each really stepped up to manage each one of these hotels. They'll let us know when they need us.
That's what I would think, that there's going to be an open line of communication going on. The homeless camps that have been along Mad River, I don't know. I know you guys have got a park name. The South Bank of the Mad River in Valley West, whatever that is now called. If that continues to be inhabited to the same extent or even greater extent than what it has been, do you guys have the ability to require them to move in or to move off the property and do things? Yeah, it's kind of the conundrum that Eureka has got. Yeah, there's all these services, but if these folks don't want to take advantage of it, you can't force them. The judges are not willing to force them. And mayhem continues to occur, even with all the great intentions and those positive stories that you see. All you need is two or three outliers, and it can make the community go right back to where we have been and go, you know, this isn't working.
Let me start at the ground level, and then I'll try to go more globally, and I won't take a whole lot of time.
Globally, you really are talking arcade, aren't you?
I'm telling you. Absolutely, because we think globally.
2.5 years.
But we have the capacity to police the Mad River area. So it is Carlson Park, right? Has it been a challenge for us? It has. Is it ongoing? It is. We've seen, you know, violent crime. We've seen, you know, fentanyl overdoses there. We know stolen property is being fenced from there. But we go in and we do patrols there. You saw, you know, what Pacquiao Green Team does on a continual basis.
You're hearing those guys.
They are doing
how much
incredible work. In addition to our environmental services personnel, you know, who are constantly going in there and restoring these vegetative areas so that we're preserving the beauty of Carlson Park. But the more that people are living there, you know, the more difficult it gets to sort of maintain that property. So there's more grant money coming in, which is going to give the city more capacity to really accelerate our restoration efforts. Now, as we do that, I have to make sure that I'm deploying resources in there with the same goal we have now, which is services, right? But now I'm really elevating now to more global. What you're starting, and Brian, Arcata's been the same. What do you do with the person, right, who's breaking a municipal code law by sleeping on the sidewalk and refuses to accept services? Here's what we're starting to see nationwide. Mayors, police chiefs are turning the knob and saying, look, we've been at this for years. We've given you tons and tons of opportunities to accept the help that's there. But homelessness has grown so much. It's such a public health issue now that we've got to look back at enforcement now to get you to comply for the overall benefits of the safety of the community. And so we haven't had to resort to enforcement. We've managed several complex encampments by getting people into services, by using the law to our advantage, and by ultimately, Brian, quite frankly, is posting their vehicles or their tents and saying, you've got another week or two, but we've been at this for months and you have alternatives. You can't stay here. There's got to be better ways. And we're going to continue to use that sort of game plan, that play sheet. But, you know, enforcement, we are going to continue to rely upon for those who are chronic offenders, who we know are violating the law, who are doing some quality of life, like using drugs, using the bathroom right in the middle of the street or right in the public.
Just nasty stuff.
As the chief, I can't tolerate that.
Well,
there's an expectation
you as
that
a
I
citizen
do something
too.
About it.
You know, it's not just those with the badges. It's right. Everybody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we want to revitalize the economy in Arcata, we have to bring shoppers back, which means it's got to be
and feel safe.
Healthy and safe. Right. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Ahern. Brian, you've got those, I'll call them RVs, and let's just kind of use that as a rough reference, along Somova Boulevard. They have been relocated to the other side of the fence, or some of them have. I was out last week, and they had moved towards the old Sierra Pacific mill site, and were on the side of the road, in very similar condition to what they were at the other spot. Do you guys have the authority to go out, or is that county property and then the county has to deal with whatever the challenges are instead of having them inside that area that is being kind of self-monitored?
You know, I think that's the one of the great things about Humboldt County, and I really have to give the sheriff credit because he is the glue that keeps all the chiefs working together, and it really is a team environment. You know, the sheriff has a lack of capacity as well, and I'm not here to talk, you know, about the sheriff and his department and resources, but we talk quite a bit, and I know I complain a lot about a lack of staffing because I need cops and dispatchers and civilian staff to do the very difficult work. The sheriff's in a very similar situation. Every time I've asked the sheriff for help, he's always said yes. He's never said, Brian, I can't help you out. So
no, he saves that for this, Brian, yeah. Not for you.
So we know, right, as experts, that displacement is a problem-solving result, right? Yeah, we'd like to solve the problem by getting everybody in a dilapidated RV into a house. Problem solved. But we know that a lot of these RVs are coming into Arcata from other parts of the county, from Mendocino County, from Del Norte County, and vice versa. Many of them, when we post them and let them know they got to go, they're going either staying in Arcata or they're going to other parts. We have no control over that. I think to the spirit of your question, though, do I have a responsibility? I have a responsibility to our sheriff and to our my neighboring chiefs. Whether you're a state official, a federal official, or local, if we can help be part of an element that helps you minimize a problem in your area, just name it, and I'll pay overtime to do that. Because everybody here, especially the sheriff, has been really good to Arcata. So our goal is, Brian, not to disperse them into other areas.
Right, right.
But when they do go, I do feel a sense of responsibility to
keep an eye on them.
Right. And not just say, that's somebody else's problem.
So when these folks that don't participate choose not to participate, what is the rationalization behind that? Why don't
rules,
they?
Rules. Barriers. That's the common theme that we hear. They don't want to go into a program because there's rules associated with it. You have to clean up your space. You eat at this time. No dogs. You can't use drugs, right? And I'm not saying
hanging out on the side of the road is acceptable for them, and it doesn't matter what everybody else
I can't speak
is.
For them, you know.
No, but you have conversations.
That's their point in their lives where they want to live only on their terms. And to your point, if that means on the side of a road, versus being in a program where they can get three meals a day and shelter, and even a lot of programs allow you to bring dogs in. And there are, you know, there's programs that, I mean, even if you are have an addiction problem, there's programs that allow you to work on that addiction, right? But it's barriers and it's rules. The more that are there, the less likely many of them are going to accept the help.
So the more rules we have as a county, the less likely this segment is to be here, and they may move elsewhere.
All the more reason why, after a lot of attempts to help, we have to go back to that enforcement piece and use that as leverage so that they're not impacting the greater good.
Which is defined as public safety and public health. Why do I feel tired after talking with you?
We're busy. We're all busy.
I'm glad we got a weekend in front of us.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See you again.
Appreciate it.
See everybody on Monday.